Okay, let's be quiet. Thank you. Okay, we made a couple changes this year to Camp Dove. We eliminated the Vesper service, and in doing so, we still let some of the campers sing in the regular service. We did that so we could start a half hour earlier with the evening service and get the campers out a little earlier, or more appropriately, to really let them have more time to pray, and it still wouldn't be very late. Okay, and another change we made was we did the presentation of the ribbons after the 3 o'clock, at the end of the 3 o'clock class, and I thought that worked real well, especially since we had some churches that had to leave. And but one thing that we failed to do during that, we missed one camper getting his ribbon. And if Brother Blue would come up here, he got a second place ribbon for the stilt race. And what's so important about this is we learned today that little Mary is going out on her own, and so maybe he can incorporate this stilt preaching into his ministry. He's losing little Mary, so but we're hoping that maybe he can get things worked out there, and maybe he and little Mary might consider coming back.
Thank you, Brother Maggard. I will cherish this ribbon forever. And I'd like to thank my sponsors. And wow. Well, I'm a little bit surprised about the ribbon. But I was really a little bit proud today, because I entered that stilt competition at the last minute. And yesterday was my first time ever to be on those stilts, so I just felt a little confident, you know. And then when I found out that I was up against Joe Helfenstein, and he was, did I say that right? Helfenstein. I knew as soon as I said it didn't come out right. And yesterday was his first day, and I was so happy that I beat Brother Joe. I mean, I was just thrilled about that. And then I found out today that I got second place, and I couldn't figure that out. So I watched the replay of that race, and sure enough, there was a third person in that race way off to the side that I didn't even know, and still don't know. Who was that third man that beat? That was Brad? Brother Brad? If only I would have tried a little harder, gone a little faster. Brother Brad got first place. Let's give him a hand. However, if you do some kind of mathematical equation and figure in our ages, I still think I won. All right? So I was representing the over 50 crowd, and I had a lot of fun doing that. Hasn't it been a good week of camp? Did anybody have fun besides me? I think we had a good time, and been wonderful, and the food's been good and wonderful. Man, we had great meals all week long, and then to finish up tonight with homemade enchiladas, weren't they good? Yeah. Delicious. So one more time, let's give the cooks a hand, okay? In fact, why don't you add into your hand clap there? Why don't you all just why don't you just yell out, "Thank you," okay? We appreciate that so much. And we've enjoyed all of the classes and wonderful skits and lessons all through the day, every day this week. And so I appreciate so much the privilege to work with people that really love children, love children's ministry, and it shows in what they do. And it's a real honor of ours to work with the Maggard family. We appreciate Brother and Sister Maggard and have joined in and giving them a hand clap tonight and a standing ovation. And we, yeah, go ahead one more time. And yet, I want to tell you that I really, really appreciate the fact that their leadership in the camp has showed up in the fact that they have their two sons and daughter-in-laws and even their grandchildren working with them to make Camp Dove a success. So when I clap for Brother and Sister Maggard, I clap, what did I say? And their daughter. I was getting around to making a special announcement about Sister Ruth. Sister Ruth Maggard, I believe, deserves a standing ovation tonight. Sister Ruth, stand up. And let's all stand and give her a big hand clap. A lot of hard work. And Sister Ruth, we appreciate all that you put into it. She travels around during the summer. She's already made trips down to the Carolinas. Is that right? Next week she'll be up in the Dakotas, South Dakota, North Dakota, and working with American Indians and their children and trying to get the gospel message to them. So let's be praying for Sister Ruth Maggard next week, that the Lord will bless her. So many of you have invested so much energy and time and effort. It's just so difficult to say thank you to everybody. But it's such a pleasure for us to be a part of it. Thank you, Brother and Sister Maggard, for this invitation. Brother and Sister Hurst, your great host pastors. And we appreciate you all. Amen. Let's worship the Lord tonight. Sister Blue is going to come sing one more time. And then, be the Lord's will, we want to look into the book one more time.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hasn't it been fun this week? I've had so much fun. I've enjoyed all the different programs just as much as you kids have. I may be a little bit more tired than you are, but I've really enjoyed it. And I've enjoyed being at Camp Dove. I'd like for y'all to help me sing tonight, okay? I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'll never be the same again. By His grace, thank God, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'll never be the same again. By His grace, thank God, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I once was just a poor, lonely beggar, clothed in the tattered rags of my sin. But today I wear a bright robe of mercy, 'cause I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'll never be the same again. By His grace, thank God, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He bought me with the price He paid on Calvary. Now I'm on my way to heaven's glory land. The angels will step back as we start singing. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved and I know that I am. by His grace. Thank God I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'll never be the same again. By His grace, thank God I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'll never be the same again. By His grace, thank God I've been washed in the blood. Washed in the blood. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Sing it. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. One more time. Oh, there is power, power, power in the blood. Hallelujah. Yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
And everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's already been said tonight that several people have had to leave, and we understand that. But you and I are still here, right? And the Lord is still here. And I've been praying that that the Lord would help us to stay focused on this service and keep in mind that He may want to do something very special tonight. All right, and some of you may have to leave right after the service, and if that be the case, be careful in your travels. We pray that the Lord will bless you in your home churches, your Sunday school, your children's church, and all your work for the Lord. But let's give God an opportunity to do something special in our hearts tonight. Amen. I want to read to you a scripture from the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, if you want to turn there. Ephesians chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, and I don't see a lot of them, so you must have them packed up already. But how about we all stand together, and I'll read the scripture to you. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18 says this: Be not drunk with wine. That's what it says. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Dear God, we thank You so much for all that You've already done for us in these services this week, and especially for last night. How You moved in our hearts and lives, and you drew us into this altar, and You met with us. And now, Lord, we pray that on this last night of Camp Dove, that You would speak to our hearts one more time, that You would challenge us, that You would raise up from this group of children here, Lord, a group of workers for You, that You would enable them and bless them and fill them with Your Spirit, so that we might have children on fire for God, and living for You in their home churches. In Jesus' name, we'll give You the praise. Amen. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
I want to preach to you tonight on don't be fooled, be filled. Don't be fooled, be filled. I think that a lot of the things that we've said this week in all of our classes have been trying to warn you about this being fooled. When we had those lessons down there in the morning class with Sister Ruth Maggard, and I certainly love that that story about following the yellow brick road. And of course, we've heard those characters over the years. But the way that she used them, the scarecrow who thought he was convinced that he didn't have a brain, but it turns out he was able to understand the things of God anyways, wasn't he? And then the tin man had lost his courage lost his heart, lost his affection for the things of God. So he got that back. And then there was the lion today who needed courage and got that. But mixed in all of that story, there was a deceiver always at work trying to get him to take the wrong road and go this way give them something that they thought was beautiful and it turns out it was poisonous and slowed them down and stopped them in their journey. And so we saw there that there's a deceiver always trying to fool us about things. And then in the afternoon sessions, Sister Debbie Maggard was using the baseball theme to talk to us about the three big lies and show us how we can be so easily deceived and to thinking that we don't need to play by the rules, that we can do it our own way and it doesn't really matter. And again, to warn us not to be fooled. I want to tell you tonight, children, there really is an enemy out there. There really is a devil. And Jesus said that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he uses the unsaved people around us, the unsaved kids at school, maybe unsaved members of your family who get involved in things. And they're going to try to tell you and convince you, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm doing it and look at me. I'm okay. But you don't know the end of how it's going to turn out with them. If they go down that road and if they keep doing those things, how it's going to end up. Hopefully they'll get saved and you'll be the ones to be able to show them the Christian life. But I'm simply telling you tonight, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. This scripture here tonight says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Now I think that most of you would know, and if you don't, let me just tell you that the Bible says here, don't be drunk with wine. I don't believe that Christians should drink alcoholic beverages. I don't believe Christians should drink liquor. Now, the Bible says here, wine. But I believe that that word, if you study it out, it also includes any intoxicating beverage. So that would include beer and whiskey and vodka and anything that changes your behavior. God doesn't want you to get your pleasure out of a bottle. God wants you to get your pleasure from serving Him. Don't be fooled about the pleasures of this world. Don't be drunk with wine, the scripture says here, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to talk to you mostly tonight about being filled with the Spirit. Now, the Bible uses several different terms about this experience that we believe of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, that describes a real experience that some of you, I believe, had last night. There were at least two that I know of got the Holy Ghost last night. Amen. Praise God for that. And I saw them, the Spirit of the Lord, come down upon them. And one of the young ladies that got filled with the Holy Ghost last night, I believe she said that she got saved here at Camp Dove last year and got filled with the Holy Ghost here this year. Praise God. I believe that. I believe in an experience of getting saved, and I believe in an experience of getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, there's different words in the Bible that describe this experience. We're going to come back to the word filled here in just a minute. But there's other places in the Bible that talks about receiving the Holy Ghost. In those places, it's describing a present that is being offered to you. And so, if I said to you tonight, I was gonna offer you $100. Anybody here want $100? Anybody need it? And so if I had a $100 bill with me and I could lay it up here and I said all you had to do was come and get it, then we'd probably have a race. And Brother Brian, he's the first one on his feet already. But some of you might sit back there thinking, oh, he doesn't really mean it. He's not really going to give that away. Or maybe he really means it for somebody else and not for me. But for those who believed and would come up here and get it and take it home with them, they have received that special gift. And so it's that way with the Holy Ghost. Have you received the Holy Ghost? You've got to accept him and take him to yourself and take him into your life and believe and receive the Holy Ghost. That's one term. Then there's another term that several times, especially in the book of Acts, is referring to being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Have any of you been baptized in water yet? How many of you have already been baptized in water? Well, many of you have. And if you're saved and you haven't been baptized in water, when you get home, talk to your pastor about being baptized. It's very important. Baptism in water doesn't save you. It doesn't wash your sins away, but it strengthens your walk with the Lord, and it's important. I've asked my grandson, Taden, to come and help me because I want to give you a little demonstration here. I've been so happy to have my grandson, Taden, with me this week. Let's stand right over here, Taden. And while I'm bragging on my grandson, I'll just tell you, my second grandson was here last night. They surprised us and brought Gregor up, so we had him in the service last night. But Taden here is our oldest grandson, and we're going to talk about being baptized for just a minute, because I believe that when you're baptized, it means to be immersed. That word means to be put under and completely covered with, okay? So if your church practices baptism by immersion, when they say be baptized, it's going to go something like this. We'll take you down to a pool or take you to a creek, or maybe you have a baptismal in your church, and they'll fill it up with water, and then they'll bring you in and say some words over you, maybe even have you testify or something like that. And then I would say, Taden, okay, go ahead and get a hold of your nose and put your hand over your mouth and get ready to take a breath. And I would say, in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, I baptize you now. And then I would lay him back like this. And he would go under the water and he would come up. He would probably spit a little bit. Let me hear you do that. Yeah, probably a little more than that. If water all over your face and all over your hair and all over you. And you would have been under the water and then come back up out of the water. That was immersion. That was being covered with and fully under. So you did a good job, Taden. I didn't even drop you. All right, let's give him a hand. Thank you for helping me. Just wanted to use that little demonstration to tell you that that's the same word when it talks about being baptized with the Holy Ghost. So there's two baptisms in the scripture, baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Ghost. And so when you receive the Holy Ghost, when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, you're not in the water, but you might be here at the altar, like the couple of young people here last night. And suddenly, you feel like you've been covered with, and the Spirit of God is all over you and all around you and all in you. You've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. I believe that that's very important to a Christian. We need the power that comes from the Spirit of God. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. We need the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus, our Lord, said that he was going to go away to heaven. And when he went away, he was going to send us another comforter who is the Holy Ghost. It's so important that we are filled, baptized, receive the Holy Ghost. You children that are already saved, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You heard my wife the other night when she testified. She said that she got saved somewhere between 4 and 5 years old. And then she got filled with the Holy Ghost at 8 years old. She was 8 years old when the Holy Ghost came into her life and filled her. Since then, some other adults have said that they got the Holy Ghost when they were children. In fact, somebody said they were 8. Who was that? All right, Sister Colleen, stand up. Sister Colleen got the Holy Ghost when she was 8 years old. How many other adults were baptized with the Holy Ghost when you were a child? Is there any others? Stand up if you were a child at a young age, got the Holy Ghost. Wow, look at this. Several. And you know what's amazing about this? Is most of all of them that I see and know, amen, have been working for the Lord for many years. They've been involved in ministry, children's work, Sunday school, children's church, some of them pastoring churches. I believe that being filled with the Holy Ghost while you're a child helps you to live this Christian life all through those difficult teen years. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost while you're a child. Somebody say amen. I've got a new friend from Sister Colleen's church over there at Shelbyville. And Caitlin, would you come up here real quickly? Just come on up here. And I want you to meet Caitlin. I didn't know her until back in May. We did a children's weekend. Just step out here in this light so everybody can see you. We did a children's weekend at the Shelbyville church. And we were glad to be a part of that. And Caitlin told me that she got saved that weekend that we did the children's services there. Praise God for that. But then, just a couple of weeks after that, she got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then she went to Granite City Camp, is that right? And got another refilling of the Holy Ghost. You want to say something? You want to just praise the Lord for that?
Yes, I do. I was praying so hard to get the Holy Ghost. My parents were praying with me. And then all of the women in our church prayed for me. And that night in the corner of our church, I was filled with the Holy Ghost that night.
Praise God. Well, let's give her a hand clap and give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Caitlin. Praise the Lord. Let me show you something here. Does anybody know what this is? It's a trash can. And somebody said, with trash in it, right? Exactly. This is a trash can with trash in it. There's an old potato chip bag. There's an old Mountain Dew can. There's some old napkins. And there's a muffin where a muffin used to be. And there's candy wrappers and all, it's trash, okay? But down in here, amongst all those napkins and used Kleenexes and everything else, there's a cup. Oh. I can't do much with that old candy wrapper, but I might be able to use this cup. I might be able to use that bottle. And, hey, that looks interesting. What do you think that is? A sponge? I might be able to use that. Okay. Well, maybe if I dug around there some more, I might find some things even in that trash can that I could recycle, so to speak. But let me ask you this. How many of you would like to have a drink out of this cup right now? Yeah. I hear a lot of people saying, ew. Well, you know what? I just rescued that cup from the trash can. I just pulled that cup out of the trash can. You didn't hear it, but that cup and this bottle and that sponge, when I walked by, they were crying out in their little plastic voices and they were saying, save me, save me, save me. And so I did. I thought it looked like there was something that I could use, and I believe that they do have potential. I really do. I believe that those three things that I just showed you have got potential. I think that they can be used. But are they ready yet? Not quite. They've been rescued, I would say, even saved. But this cup needs to be washed. It needs to be cleansed. You know what? You may not even feel comfortable just yet drinking out of that cup, but I just happen to have a trusty can of Lysol here. And it says on here, disinfectant spray. It kills 99.9% of germs in 50 seconds. That sounds good. All right. So I dipped it in the water there and maybe got rid of a bunch of the germs. But now, let's spray some of that Lysol on there and let it sit for a little bit. And according to the can, it's going to kill 99.9% of the germs on it. So my point is, it's been saved and sanctified. Now it's been washed. It's been cleansed. I really think that most of you, if you knew that about this cup, you'd feel a little safer drinking out of it, wouldn't you? All right. Same thing with this bottle. I would take it. I would wash it. I would cleanse it, and then after I felt like it was good and clean and filled it up with water and put it in the refrigerator, would you drink out of it then? Yeah. Anybody thirsty? Yeah. Anybody thirsty? Yeah. All right. If you run up here right now, you can have a bottle of water. Okay. First one got it. Go back to your seat. I saw potential in these things that somebody else had thrown away. I'm not saying that, I'm not calling you trash tonight, but I'm going to tell you this. I felt like my life was pretty trashy when the Lord saved me. I feel like I had been used up by the devil. I feel like the devil who comes to steal and kill and destroy had left me in the trash heap. And then Jesus came along and rescued me. Jesus came along and saved me. And Jesus cleaned me up, washed away my sins. He saw potential in me. 40 years ago, you never would have dreamed that I would be preaching youth camps and preaching at Camp Dove. You would have not dreamed that it was even possible. But the Lord saved me, and the Lord sanctified me, and the Lord filled me with His Holy Ghost. And then He started to use me. The same thing with all of these adults who have testified tonight by standing up and saying they got saved when they were a child. They got filled with the Holy Ghost when they were a child. I want to tell you, my little friends, there's no telling what God's going to do in your life. If you will just let Him work in your life, get everything you can from God. Don't hold back, but pray and seek after God. And don't be fooled by the things of this world, but be filled with the things of God. He's going to make a difference in your life. Praise God. I've got one more little demonstration here. And let me start by setting this picture up here. And I'm going to say that this is the wine of the world, okay? I'm going to say that this is what the Bible's talking about here when it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Children, some of you are getting at that age. Maybe some of you have already tasted liquor. Please don't drink that stuff. Please don't go down that road. You don't know how dangerous that stuff is. And I have read a startling statistic that by far the greatest number of alcoholics in this world started drinking between the age of 12 and 20. So at that age, 12 years old, some young people are already drinking alcoholic beverages. It ruins lives. It ruins homes. Some of you have seen it happen in your own homes. Your moms and dads, your sisters and your brothers getting drunk and drinking booze and how it's ruined their lives. Please don't go that. Don't be fooled by the things of this world. Now, I would put in the same category here drugs. because it does similar things to your mind, you know, and your behavior. It changes your behavior. I don't believe it's God's will for you to smoke marijuana. I don't believe that God wants you to take pills. It's not God's will for you to get involved with meth and cocaine and heroin. Forget that stuff. Forget it. It's going to ruin your life. It destroy your life. It can make you an addict, put you in jail, ruin your homes, ruin your health, ruin your mind. Don't do it. Stay away from drugs. Stay away from liquor. That's a trick of the devil. It's a trick of the devil. I know that because I was raised in a home where alcohol was abused. I saw the results of it. And by the help and grace of God, I didn't want my children to be raised in a home like that. And you don't have to have a home like that. God's got a plan for you. Don't be fooled. But there's something else that I see here. Not just wine and not just drugs. But I think there's also here an illustration of all of the stuff of the world. All of the stuff of the world. Don't be drunk with the world. Everybody say the world. So when I'm talking about that picture right there, right now, I'm talking about the world. And I'm talking about all of the junk out there in the world. All of the perversions out there in the world. We know that this is a society that loves electronics and phones and iPhones and smartphones and all of those things. But listen, there's some bad, bad stuff out there on the internet. Don't get drunk on the stuff of this world. There are things that God doesn't want you to see out there. He doesn't want you to look at those nasty pictures that are available out there. It'll hurt you. It'll harm you. It'll harm relationships. Don't be fooled by it. I said, don't be fooled by it. The perversions that are out there that'll get in your mind through the pictures that you see and the things that you read and maybe even the games that you play. Even the games that you play. I've talked to young people all across the country. I don't know a lot, but I know a little bit about how addicting video games can be. I know that there's some just little fun, innocent little games. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are some that are very violent games. Murder, blood, guts, brains blowing out. Oh, that's not what a Christian needs to be entertained with. Don't be fooled by it. Don't be fooled by it. And then to get so involved in it that it consumes your time all the time, playing video games. You might not believe this, but I've even seen in church people sitting there in church with their smartphones texting, LOL, in church. I got to win this game. Got to win this. In church. There's something wrong with that. We're being fooled. We're being fooled. Don't be drunk with wine where in his excess. Don't be drunk by the world where in his excess. Don't be fooled. God has something better for you. You're not ever going to receive God's best playing your video game sitting on a church pew. Amen. Some of you have been playing while others are praying. It's time for you to decide what side you're going to be on, the playing side or the praying side. I believe that to be on the prayerful side is to bring great rewards. I don't want to be fooled. I want to be filled. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God and the blessings of God and the power of God. Well, let me tell you, here's this cup we've been working on, saved and cleaned up and all of that. But then the devil comes along and it looks so good and everybody else is doing it. It seems like everybody else is drinking it. Everyone's talking about how flavorful it is and how sweet it is. And you start drinking a little bit of it, and you drink a little bit more of it, and you're involved in this, and you're going to parties, and you're involved in all kinds of things, and your life gets filled up. But it's filled up with the wrong thing. This cup is full, all right, but it's not filled with the right thing. It's full of the world. I don't want to be full of the world. I hope you don't want to be filled with the world. I'd rather be filled with the Spirit. Amen. I believe that God has a fresh, cold, clear drink of water for us. Amen. Here's what I want. I don't want the wine of this world. I want the Spirit of God. I want the promises of God. I need a drink from heaven. We know what's happening in this world all around about us. It's not working. They're not happy. They're acting insane. They're going crazy. They're ending up in jail. They're killing themselves. Children, that stuff's not making them happy. It's not the money. It's not the fame. It's not the fun that makes people happy. What they need is God. What they need is Jesus. What they need, what you need, is the Spirit of God. Amen. I'd like for a whole bunch of people to get a good drink of the Spirit of God tonight. That's what I want. Not that stuff. I don't care what they say about it. This is better. Cold and satisfying. It is cold. I put ice in it, so I know that it's cold, clear. Anybody thirsty tonight? Oh, boy, that's good. Brother Brian, I know you got your hands full there, but could you come on up anyways and just hold your hand out here? I'd like for you to try some of this, and I'll even provide the cup. Here, you want some? You want a drink? All right. Here you are. I'm going to let you have some of this cold, clear water. Let's fill it up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Take a drink, Brother Brian. And you know what the Bible says? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to challenge you on this last night of Camp Dove. Taste the Lord. Taste Him here in these altars tonight. Taste the Spirit of God. Close your eyes and forget about everything else and just think about Him. And then when you go home to your home church, you don't have to be at camp meeting. Caitlin told you she got filled with the Holy Ghost in a corner of her church with her parents praying for her. And yes, she got another blessing and another refill at a youth camp in Illinois, but she got filled with the Holy Ghost the first time at her home church. It can happen for you that way. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you got so thirsty for God, you wanted the Holy Ghost so much that they got to praying with you in Sunday school and God poured His Spirit out in a Sunday school class? Praise God. But let me tell you one more thing about being filled. This cup, filling this cup, that's one example of being filled. But this word filled is interesting, because it really has to do more with this sponge that you think that I forgot. I rescued this sponge from that trash can because I think it will serve as a good illustration. Right now, this sponge is kind of dried out, isn't it? Listen. You see that? It's dried out. It's been in the trash can. It's kind of hard. But something unusual happens when you put a sponge underwater. And I'm going to put this sponge down here in this water, and I'm going to hold it underwater here for a minute, and I'm going to ball it up inside my hand, and then I'm going to let it loose under this water and pull it out. Now this sponge is even more filled than that cup that we filled a minute ago. This sponge has been infused with water. So when that scripture verse says, be filled with the Spirit, He actually is saying, be infused with the Spirit. Let the Spirit be all through you and in you. Now, it may not look full, like that cup is full, but all I have to do is just squeeze it a little bit and look at water's coming out of it. More water's coming out. This sponge has got water all in it, on it, and through it. It's been immersed in water. Praise God. I believe that the Lord wants us to be immersed in His Spirit. You know why? I don't know about you, but I need the Spirit of God in my mind so it'll help my thought life, so I won't be thinking bad things. I need Him in my mind. I need the Spirit of God to be in my eyes to help me at what I look at and the things that I look at. I need the Spirit of God in my ears to help me about what I listen to, the kind of music I listen to, and all of those things. I need the Holy Spirit in my mouth to help guard how I talk so that I say the right things, so that I don't act and talk like the world. I need the Holy Ghost in my hands because it'll help affect what I do. Amen. I need the Holy Ghost in my feet because then it'll help where I go. I need the Holy Ghost all through me. I need Him in my mind, in my mouth, in my eyes, in my ears, in my hands, in my feet, down depth in the depth of my heart. I need the Holy Ghost in my heart because it helps my affection, what I really love. I don't want to love the world. I want to love the Lord with all my heart and all my strength and all my might and all my mind and my neighbor as myself. I want to be infused with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. Children, don't be fooled. You're getting ready to leave a camp where everything's been about God. All you've heard all week long has been about God and the Bible and the Scriptures and the songs that we've sung. But now you're going to go out into a world and you're going to hear all those other things. I want to tell you, don't be fooled. Keep your mind focused on God. Amen. And keep hungry and thirsty for God. He's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And He's going to lead and guide your life and bless you in ways that you can't imagine just yet. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How about all of you say, praise the Lord? Let's stand together tonight as the musicians come. LaDonna, maybe you've got a song. This is not what I want. This is where I used to be. This is what I used to do. This is what I used to drink. But not anymore. No. No. I don't want to be fooled by that anymore. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Not the world. The Word. The Spirit. The blessings of God. How about right now, every one of you, close your eyes and get to thinking about Jesus. And get to thinking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that most of you, probably all of you, come from Pentecostal churches that believe just like I've preached tonight. And they want you to be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll feel Him. He'll be close. You feel His power, and you'll worship Him. And as you're praising and worshiping Him, He'll give you new words to say. The Bible calls it speaking in tongues. And then He's going to help you to live this life. You need the Holy Ghost. How many of you tonight want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Would you come and then, girls, one more time, gather over here on this side, and boys, one more time over on that side, and let's pray that the Lord would visit us on this last night, and before you even go home, possibly, Him pour His Spirit out on you, fill you, saturate you. Oh, do you really want Him? You really want the Holy Ghost? then open up your life like an empty cup and say, come in, Lord, and fill me. Why don't you let him dip you down deep like a sponge?
Work,
soak up the blessings of God to take home with you tonight. Don't be afraid to praise Jesus. Don't be afraid to tell the Lord you love him. Holy Ghost, we need you.
Oh, there is a hunger.
Lord, we're waiting for you.
Deep down inside of me.
We're worshiping you.
The power of your spirit to flow over me.
Oh, God, would you give us another Pentecost?
I want the power.
Would you give us a generation of children filled with the Spirit? Would you raise us up workers, Lord, out of these girls and these boys? Raise us up some workers. Lord, would you please give us some worshipers? Give us some new worshipers, Lord, that won't be ashamed to praise you, that won't be afraid to praise you, that won't be afraid to clap their hands, won't be afraid or ashamed to raise their hands, that will love you with all of their heart and all of their soul, all of their strength and all of their mind. Lord, I pray that you would bless them tonight.
In a room one day.
Oh, yes, God, grant it to us.
So sad and lonely.
In these last days, Lord,
that their master,
the devil destroying families, ruining children's lives. Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon them, that you would put your mark upon them, that you would claim them as your own. These here tonight, Lord, that kneel before you. Lord, put your spirit within them and raise them up, a mighty army.
Well,